Second Kings tonight. Second Kings. We're going to continue looking at some of these stories. Second Kings chapter 6. Some of these stories of the Old Testament, these accounts. Sometimes we use the word stories and it sounds like it's something that we made up. I like to, instead of saying story, I want to say an account. Right? And so there becomes this kind of situation where we could get, do words matter? And yes, obviously words matter. And so sometimes what we'll do is we'll reference a story and like, okay, so in the Bible there's parables, right? On a parable isn't an account. It's an illustration, right? And sometimes so when we say an account, this is something, a testimony or something that actually happened. It's a real event. And so it's not hyperbole. It's not a made up thing. It's not an illustration. These are things that happen. And so we're looking at history here in the Kings and some of the history of Israel. And I like to focus maybe a little more on the works of the prophets. There's some interesting things. We're going to look at something tonight. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit odd, actually. 2 Kings chapter 6 and in verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore he said, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Let's go, Lord, in prayer this evening. Our Father, we are thankful, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thankful for your word. Lord, I pray that you might come and meet with us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd give us your instruction, your direction. Lord, pray that you would encourage our hearts. Lord, give us Lord, give us your wisdom and your power and your strength and your care, all these things that we need tonight. And we'll give you thanks for it all now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, so we have this story of, this account, rather, of the axe and the axe head, and it's gone. And so why is this story here? It's really kind of an interesting thing. There was just a story, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, of the captain of the Syrian army, Naaman. Right? Remember that? He was healed of leprosy. Pretty big deal, right? I mean, listen, this was the first of its kind, the first healing of this incurable disease. That's pretty exciting. Amen. I mean, listen, if you had a disease that had never in history been cured, and then one day somebody comes up and says, hey, there's somebody that can heal you over here, and you should go over there to the prophet, and there's a prophet in Israel, and he goes, and he said, okay, we'll see. And then, of course, the whole thing went down, and he was healed. I mean, it was an amazing story of God's power in changing the life of an unbeliever. Man, it was amazing. Naaman went on to confess repentance toward God and a commitment to worship Him only. Man, it's an amazing story of how a man that was worshiping idols and pagan idols and all these things, and he comes and he hardly really believed. He said, I'm looking for some answers, and wow, he got healed, went into that dirty river, right? He said, aren't the rivers in Syria cleaner than that? You know, and so he did this, and he came out and he said, wow, now I know you're the God. There's only one God. The God of the Israelites. And man, remember he took some dirt back with him? Wow, amazing stuff. It was an amazing account of God's power. So after this story in chapter 6 and verse 8 and following is the story of the king of Syria warring against Israel. So now right before this the story that we have here, right before that is the healing of Naaman, and then we see, you know, Elisha's servant went and got greedy and ended up getting Naaman's leprosy, right? Ends from that and goes into the account that we just read of the axe head and so forth. Right after this story is this story of the king of Syria going to war against Israel. It's an amazing story of God's knowledge, of God's direction, and God's help unto His people in a miraculous way. We're going to look at that in the days ahead. It's another amazing story of what God did. But before we get into that, is this passage that we have here kind of wedged in the middle of it, seemingly misplaced, not quite in line with what's going on? This is amazing. This is amazing. And yeah, this thing happened. Sometimes the Bible's a little strange. Most students of the Bible, and you research this and find it a strange place for this to be in the midst of what's going on here. You go try to do a little research, a little study on it, and everybody says, yeah, it's weird. I like that when everybody thinks the same way about something. We're all on the, yet we know this. God makes no mistakes. God doesn't make any mistakes. And so let's see what nugget the Lord has for us here in the midst of this thing here in 2 Kings chapter 6. So number one is, why is this here? Number two is, the place is too straight. Again, in chapter 6 and in verse 1, the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Now, the word straight, they wanted something with some angles and hallways and No, the word straight here is kind of, we should think of the word like a straight jacket. Okay, that's kind of the word. It was tight or cramped. Okay, that's the kind of idea when we use this word straight, what it means. Their quarters had become too small. Okay, probably as a result of more men coming to follow Elisha. Okay, the works and that God used Elisha to do became very well known, and the things that he was doing, and so people heard about it, and some of these men came to follow in this. So the sons of the prophets we have here, it's an interesting group in the Old Testament. We find this group, the sons of the prophets. This is probably in some kind of seminary type situation. They're never ever explained. It's mostly we find the sons of the prophets primarily during the time of Elijah seemed to and Elisha, though it does seem that the prophet Samuel seemed to probably maybe the one that started this, and there began to be these groups down the way. But they're like I said, it's kind of a seminary type situation, not actually sons of men that were prophets, not as you would think. These are the sons of the prophets. No. That's not necessarily who it was. It was kind of more of a terminology for these men. Today we might call them preacher boys, right? They were preacher boys coming and with different things like that. They seem to function in the way of evangelists and religious workers, and the way this group kind of functioned. They weren't training to be a pastor, right? By the way, they weren't training to be a prophet. How do you train to be a prophet? I'm training to have God speak to me. Right? So they weren't training to be a prophet. They were training to be used by God. And so they functioned in this way. They did at times actually prophesy. At times they did actually prophesy with new revelation. But it seems that they would have mostly been rehearsing Scripture that was already written. Like when they were prophesying, they were repeating Scripture that it was already there, Old Testament law and so forth, and they were proclaiming it in that way. Though they also worshipped in song, we find in different places with the Psalms. You know, that's what they would, the Psalms of David and so forth, and they would sing those things together. It seems there has always been those that want to give their life to live for the Lord. There's always been people that want to give their life to live for the Lord, even if they were not appointed to the ministry. Those such as, you know, in the Old Testament, it was the Levites, right? Or the sons of Aaron were the priests. And so if you weren't born of that family, you weren't in the actual temple ministry. And so yet there would be others that would want to serve God in some full-time kind of capacity. And so there was, listen, you go to the average Bible college today, most of them are not going to go out of there and be pastors or missionaries. It's going to be some that are going to come. They'll go there. They'll go to Bible college. They'll come back to their church, and they're going to maybe teach a Sunday school class. They maybe just going to come and just, you know, play the piano or sing specials or just, help with vacation. They're just going to come. They just want to serve God. And they just get out of a high school and say, I want to get myself prepared. And, you know, I used to think like this. I just want to be ready. That if God does want to use me that way, I'm already prepared. That's kind of the way I thought about it, and the way I still kind of want to think that thing for young people. I think we used to always have this thing, so you should always give 1 year of Bible college. I don't know, maybe. I think we ought to be willing to say, God, I want to give you first dibs on my life. You know, God, I want to let you first. If you want to use me in that capacity, here am I, Lord, send me. And you know, I don't know of anybody that was hurt by spending a year in Bible college. You know what I'm saying? By the way, I'm not saying everybody should go to Bible college either. I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to relate to this passage, okay? This is where Elijah was. I'm sorry, this is where Elisha was when Elijah was taken by the Lord. Why do these guys have to have names so close to each other? Could have been, you know. Anyway, so we get them mixed up. But this is Elisha was most likely in this group, and he was, and he was the servant of Elijah, and he would go to some of these places, and the sons of the prophets say, "Do you know your master is going to go to be with the Lord today?" He said, "Hold your peace." He said, "Stop it. I don't want to hear you talking like that." You know, and he knew it, and he said, "I'm not leaving you." Like all these people knew that God was about to take Elijah home, and Elisha was with him. He was the Gehazi. You know, he was the one that was there with them, and he wanted to, we're going to look at that story maybe down the road too. I'm not doing these in order. We're just kind of jumping around. We'll just see as the Lord leads each week. Amen. We'll see what's going on here. So the quarters were getting crowded. By the way, if you're interested in a little bit more of the sons of the prophets, I was reading this article that was written by this fella in the early 1900s. It was pretty good. If you're interested, I could send you it, and it talks about the sons of prophets. It was really interesting. It's a Baptist preacher back in the day. So their quarters were getting too crowded. You know, there's too many. We always need new dorms at Bible colleges. It seems like that's always the thing. So the sons of the prophets seem to be taken care of by the community. Through donations and helps, and they evidently seem to be a kind of situation where, and I'm saying evidently, I'm using these kind of words because it's not clear in the Bible. Just taking the different information that I've read about this, seem to be others met their needs by different things. And I was thinking about this as kind of, you know, when we spent the time in Sri Lanka, you'd see the Buddhist monks, and they would come around with a begging bowl. They'd come around with this bowl, and they would hold it out to you, and you'd put something in that bowl so that they could. But they all had, like, Buddha bellies, like me. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking, they're doing more than just what's coming in that bowl. You know, it was kind of their whole thing. I don't know how they'd get it. I don't want to. I'm sure some of them meant business. But some of them were well endowed. You know, they had a bigger bowl, I guess. I don't know. But this is kind of how these guys worked. They were just, They were there and they were just trying to live, and weren't going out there and getting jobs and these kind of things. They were in this community. But what we see here is not a group that thought that the world owed them something. Could you ever imagine we could become a country that got so dependent on the government that folks believed that other people owed them? I think I mentioned before, I saw this article, or this, not an article, it was a video, and they'd asked one of these people that were being held up in one of these hotels, not held up, but living it up in one of these hotels in New York, said, who's funding this? And said, oh, the U.S. government. So you know where the government gets their money? So I don't know. He said, taxpayers pay for that? He said, no, I don't know anything about that. This is somebody from another country. They're like, I don't know. Uncle Biden said we could come. I don't know how that whole thing went, but imagine getting to a place. But these weren't those kind of fellas. These weren't those that thought we're going to come here and the world owes us something because we want to do this. They were servants. Look at verse 2 with me again. He says there, let us go. Here's what these sons of the prophets said. They said, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. So here's what's happening. They say, hey, can we go down yonder? All of us go get a log, a beam, and we'll bring it back and build this. Not like, hey, you think you can get some people in here to build us a nice dormitory? No, they said, let's go. I mean, so number 3 is this. Let us build this. It's what they said. They were men that didn't just see a need, but wanted to fill the need. I love when people have great ideas to serve the Lord. I really do. I love when people have great ideas to serve the Lord. I don't necessarily love ideas that require others to labor on your idea. Right? Man, I got this really great idea, and all we need is about 3 or 4 other guys to do it. Or I've got this great idea for somebody else to do. You know, listen, anyone can come up with an idea for someone else to do. Right? It's another thing altogether to offer to work out the proposal themselves. They said, hey, we've got a problem here. This place is too straight for us. It's not working anymore. I mean, we're sharing bunks and they're like singles and we'd like to a little more space. And he said, you know what, here, how about this? How about we go down and get some beams. Every man will get a beam. We'll come back and we'll build this place. And they asked Elisha if this would be possible to do for the ministry. You know what they said? Hey, listen, can we do this? Hey, by the way, just because you have a good idea doesn't mean it's a good idea. Right? Hey, just because, by the way, I mean, sometimes our idea is actually good. Yeah, actually, sometimes you have a really good idea, but it's just maybe it's not the time, or it's not somebody else wants to do one thing and you want to do another thing. And it's so they went and asked Elijah, said, Elisha. They went and asked Elisha, they said, can we do it? And Elisha's response was, go ye. Yeah, go ahead. Good idea. Or I don't know if he said it's a good idea. He said, go ahead. And so, but they wanted more than, they wanted more than permission to serve. They wanted the leadership in it. Look at now in verse 3, what he says here. They said, and one of the sons of the prophet said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. This is not a story of a lot of words. It's just we got this thing. The second thing I love is when people will follow the vision of another. Well, follow the vision of another. It doesn't have to be my vision. Well, no, if we're not doing it my way, y'all can do it on your own then. I'm going to do what I want to do, and you can do what you want to do, but I'm not going to do your thing. And, you know, it's just a terrible situation. The work, can I say this? The work of the ministry cannot be done alone. We can't do it alone. This is not meant to be. By the way, it's not meant to be done like. It's not whether you can physically do it. It means this: you can't do it. Okay? It is this. It is what they said. He said, "I pray thee, go with thy servant. He's asking. They're asking. We want more than just, we want you to be with us on this thing. You know, it's this. It's not like, hey, do you think this is okay? So can you imagine you asking somebody, hey, you think this is okay? And they kind of give you, yeah, it's fine. I don't care. No, that's not good enough, right? No, a little bit more than that. Can I get a little more feedback? You know, what do you think? And so this is where they're going at this thing. I want more than just a... How about, be content, come with us on this thing. Would you join us? You know, can I say this? The work of the ministry isn't for the young. Listen to what I'm saying to you. The work of the ministry isn't for the young. The work of the ministry is for all to go together. Right? These sons of the prophets didn't want to say, hey, can we go do this thing? And they go off and have a time. No, that's not what they was trying to do. They want to do this thing. We want to do this thing for the Lord, for this ministry, for what we're trying to accomplish here. Would you go? The work of the ministry is for all to go together. It's a wonderful picture. It's a wonderful picture of what of the church, isn't it? It's a wonderful picture of what's going on. But then number four, ministry isn't without issues. Ministry is not without issues. Amen. Can I get an amen right there? Yeah. Somebody testify. You know what I'm saying? Listen. Look at verse 4. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So we find here really the climax of this account right here. While doing the work that was necessary for the school of the prophets, a mishap happened, right? The axe head came off the axe. They're just doing their thing, right? Just doing this work, and the axe head comes off. And as it were, they were on the bank of the Jordan cutting down these trees. So here they are on the bank chopping down a tree. The axe head comes off, and it goes into the river. Man, talk about the bad luck. You ever had bad luck? Right? You ever felt like, man... my brother's had some recently, amen. Stitches and skin grafts. And but this thing happens... And you're done. You ever had somebody stuff that you use? And you're like, no, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. You kind of maybe the word borrow is kind of in some places the word is talking about beg or request or kind of get. And so there's kind of this idea that I want to say, hey, can I just get this from you? Can I just use your thing? It's going to be fine. I'm going to use, you know, and it'll be all right. If something happens, I'll fix it. It'll be okay. And they're like, yeah, okay. I mean, that's how I make my living. But you're going to go do this for the Lord. Amen. You're like, okay, and you got this, and you think, I got my borrowed thing. All y'all got yours? Yeah, we got us one, and we're there. The son of the prophets, as I mentioned, did not live off of wealth. Right? These weren't guys that came in independently wealthy, but they lived off of gifts. But this axe wasn't a gift. It was borrowed. Nobody said, here, I got an axe I want to give you. Somebody said, hey, I have something that you can use for the work that you're appointed to. The borrowed tool here, it was never thought that it could be broken beyond repair. It's an axe. I mean, it's an axe that you're going down and you're cutting down trees. So if something happens, we can whittle back a new handle out of the trees. They were cutting down. We're going to be fine, right? Who could imagine that the iron axe head was going to be damaged? Right? You ever like damaged an axe head? I mean, man, that axe head had just splintered in two. Well, you know, that doesn't, you know, who's thinking that way? There's no, see, they had no provision for that thing. Never thought about, hey, you know, you got to say, and could you imagine borrowing that? Now listen, if something happens, I'll make a new handle. We're going to be out there cutting down this good wood. They went over there because it was good wood. We'll get a new handle. It'll be better than, I'll bring it back. Matter of fact, while I'm there, I'll make a new handle. How about that? All right, that's a good deal. He goes down there. Never in his life, I can imagine. I'm imagining here what he sat there thinking. I'm going to have to replace the axe head. No provision for that. This was really a tragic situation for this man. What would he do? What would he do here? Would he have to leave the sons of the prophets to return home? Or get a job to replace the axe head? I mean, you know, imagine he's there because he wants to be there, and he's doing this work because he wants to do this work. And all of a sudden, here they are in the midst of this thing, and he's all of a sudden trying to get this idea. He said, what am I going to do here? Does he leave? Would there be debtor's prison? You know what I'm saying? I don't know what he's going on. There's obviously something with him that he's that word, alas, when he says, alas, master, it's the word, oh, no. Ah. Like all of a sudden something happened. What am I going to do? Maybe, I was thinking about that. I thought maybe, would he hurt the livelihood of another man that graciously lent this tool to him? Somebody said, hey, listen, I want you to use this for the Lord's work. I need it back because that's how I make my living, but I want you to have this. And so here he is, he gets this axe and he goes on, and now he's thinking, I've just ruined somebody's livelihood. I mean, there's a lot of things going on there, right? A lot of stuff going on in his mind. I mean, I'm imagining something happened there that he said, there's a tragedy, there's a situation going on. And so we find this whole situation, so many questions that might fill one's mind. Okay. But we first, I think it's interesting something that happens here, which is not always the way we do it, but so many questions begin to fill our minds when a problem comes up, right? What about, how do we, what this? But he first went to the one with the answer. There's a lot of stories in the Bible where they go and try to fix it first and make it worse and people die. And then they come back and say, Lord, what do we do now? And he said, well, what, pretty much it should have started there. But often our problem is not only that we fret over the problem, but we then frantically work to resolve it ourselves. Amen? How do I get myself out of this? But here he asked Elisha. Look at verse 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him. And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said, take it up to thee. And he put it in his hand and took it. End of story. It's the end of the story. Finished. It's complete. There's these enormous situations, leprosy, war, death, and an axe head. Some of these things are big, but you know, these big things, life isn't mostly filled with big things. It's the daily tragedies in our life. Tragedies, you know, stuff that's, I mean, I'm making a little bit light of that, but for him, it would have been a big deal. It would have changed his life, possibly. And maybe the guy, he had went back and said, hey, don't worry about it. It's okay. I got two more in the garage or the shed or the, I don't know, wherever they kept things. Maybe it wasn't, we don't know the whole story. But But it's those daily things in our life that we need God for. Can I tell you, nothing is too big for God. But neither is there anything too small. God is just as interested in your broken tool as He is in your broken life. Isn't that something? It feels kind of embarrassing sometimes to ask God for the little things, doesn't it? Almost like we don't think God is interested in those. But I'll tell you, God is just... it's a weird story. Why is the axe head? Elijah, the whole thing, he throws the stick, and I read other people say, well, the stick means this, and this means this, and this. I don't think this means this or this or this. I don't. I think it was just something he wanted to show that, listen, this is the power of God. He did something, threw it in, and the iron swims. Floats is what it means. I mean, you ever seen iron float? Not normally, right? And it comes up, he says, take it in your hand. The guy took it. Problem solved. That's what God does with us. Sometimes we're like, wow, I see why God did that. Other times we're like, thank you, Lord. You ever been like that? Thank you, Lord. Like when you see red lights coming behind you and you look down at your speedometer and you're like, oh, no. Oh, Lord, please. Lord, I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry. I was speeding. And they go by and you're like, whew. Y'all been there, right? We all been there. We're like, thank you, Lord. I've done this. I've probably done this more often. I'm going down the highway and all of a sudden there's like, whew. You're like, you just let off the gas and you're like, or turn off the cruise control. And you're like, oh, Lord, please. You know, you're just asking God. You know, sometimes it's, and they don't come. You're like, whew. I mean, there's just that relief comes over. Thank you, Lord. There's things that come up in our life. You lost something. We had a lady in our church. She would lose her purse all the time, or her keys. She would lose her keys and come in, and she looked all over the building, couldn't find it, traced her steps. All over. I mean, she's just frantic, frantic. And she's like, oh, they're there. She's like, praise you, Lord. I'm telling you, there's things that happen in our life. The everyday stuff. Do you know what I mean? The everyday stuff. That's where God is working most of the time in our life. Hey, listen, He's not waiting for you to get leprosy. Listen, God is looking to be interested in your life and to do something with the tools, with the things in your life, the everyday things. Listen, God is just as interested in your broken tool as He is in your broken life. He has the answer. But here's the question. Can you trust Him? Amen. I trust God, right? That's our... Can you trust God? Yeah, I trust God, right? We say that. If you trust Him, you will do what? You'll follow Him. If you trust Him, you'll follow Him. I mentioned that this morning. I mentioned that before. I'm going to mention it more and more. Here's the thing. If we trust God, we'll follow God. If we don't follow Him, we don't trust Him. That's a fair statement, right? If we trust Him, we follow Him. If we don't trust Him, or rather, if we don't follow Him, we've just revealed that we don't trust Him. Well, I trust Him, but... Listen, could we just admit... Like that the father said, he said, Lord, I believe, but help me thou mine unbelief. You know what he said? I believe you, God, but there's some area in my life that I'm not there yet. I want to. Hey, listen, maybe we'd say this, God, I want to follow you. I do, I want to follow you, but I want to admit to you, Lord, that I'm having problem trusting you. What a difference it would make in my life if I would just admit that I'm not trusting God. Amen? Instead, what we do is say, no, I'm good. I'm trusting God. I just don't think that's what He wants me to do. When in fact, it's very clear that's the road He wants me to go down. But I'm just saying, you know, listen, let's start from there. If you trust Him, you'll follow Him.
in spite of the issues of serving Him. Listen, what I want to say to you for sure tonight, folks, is this. Ministry isn't without issues. It's challenges. It's going to be challenges anytime we want to serve the Lord. It's going to be challenges. But if we trust Him, we'll follow Him no matter what. And listen, God is the God of big stuff. Man, God does big, amazing, miraculous, unbelievable things. But I'm telling you, huge things. Nations. But He also makes iron to swim so you can fix your tool. Your borrowed tool. God is just as interested. Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight, Lord. We do want to trust You, Lord. I know we do. I do, and I know these folks here do. Lord, we want to trust You. We want to, Lord, be able to follow You in these areas. And Lord, help us tonight. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, You'd help us to see where maybe in those places where we're not following You. And Lord, we'd admit that we're actually not trusting You. And Lord, tonight I pray that You'd help us to see this thing of that You're so interested in the small things too. God, there's nothing too big for You. Likewise, there's nothing too small for You to fix in our life. Lord, help us tonight. Encourage us. Draw us to Yourself, Lord, and we'll give You thanks for it.